Welcome into the January 11th edition of the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Morisuti. Lots of news coming out of Leafs camp today. A couple of key injuries of note that we got to talk about. And the Preds roll into town with being on a four-game winning streak, Dave. So Toronto looking to be the streak stoppers once again here today. So we'll tee that game up for you and get to all the news on today's edition of Locked On Leafs.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Leafs podcast, one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother on TSN's Overdrive and TSN 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host, Dave Morisuti from Sportsnet, also a writer for the NHLPA. Locked On Leafs is a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast, so be sure to subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also now catch us up on video format. Just look us up, Locked On Leafs on YouTube. Hit subscribe. We do new content each and every day, Monday through Friday. It's all Leafs all the time. If you consider yourself part of Leafs Nation, got to be part of the Locked On Leaf family. We got a Discord as well. You can go and join. Things are always popping off in there. We'll put the link down below on YouTube, also in the podcast if you are listening to the pod. What's going on, Dave? How you doing, pal? We never really start by talking about ourselves, but how you doing?
How am I doing? Well, it's been a interesting few days. It's not long, like usual, that like the Leafs have this back-to-back and they're off until the Wednesday. Like, yeah. It's kind of thrown my whole routine into flux, let's just say.
Yeah, because it's typically like game day, off day, game day, off day, game day, off day. And then we had like two shows in a row where it was like, oh, we had a couple off days. We got to do a mailbag. If you missed that podcast, we had a couple of mailbag questions from listeners. So if you asked a question and you missed it, potentially it was on yesterday's show. So make sure that you go and check that out. But we've got a couple that were left over that we didn't get to that we'll probably get to at the end of this podcast as well. But before we get into any Leaf stuff, Dave, I just like, there's nothing that makes you feel more manly, I guess I could say, and gets the testosterone and the juices flowing, like doing a household chore that requires power tools.
You and power tools is kind of a, I don't know how to feel about that.
I am not a power tools kind of guy. The last line of work I possibly could have went into was carpentry. I'm telling you that right now. But this TV that's on above my shoulder, I put that bad boy up today and I felt so good about it. I was walking around strutting like I was Vince McMahon. I was so stoked about putting that bad boy up because I am the least likely person to do any type of like home renovation, anything. Like I probably would call somebody to come put up a picture frame. I'm that useless when it comes to stuff. But I put that bad boy up there. I had to get the bracket on and then I got the TV on the bracket. We're feeling good. It hasn't fallen off yet. But let me tell you, man, I am feeling tremendous right now. After doing that kind of task, tremendous.
You're making me feel bad because, like, I'm someone who's I come from a family of like carpenters. My grandfather was a carpenter, so like you know that Tavares photo, jersey frame that's not in the office anymore. Reason why it's not in the office anymore because I couldn't stand not looking the fact that I haven't put it up yet, and like I'm like planning. I'm a planner. I can't just put it up and then be like, no, it doesn't work there, and then take it down because I don't want to have to like have a bunch of holes in my wall.
No, I got tons of holes back there, but the good thing is
how many holes do we have in behind that TV there? I don't even want
my phone. I took a photo of the thing is I tried to put the bracket up. All right, I'm gonna tell people the truth. I got this TV and bracket set on Black Friday, okay? And it's been until today, until I put this back up. I tried to do it ahead of my vacation, like before I left for my cruise and then Christmas and all that. I didn't spend a whole lot of time here, so I never really had a chance to put it up, I guess, since I've been back into Toronto until today. But the day that I tried to do this, like prior to my cruise, early December, let's say, I butchered my wall. Like, I don't know if you could see this very well. I'm going to up the brightness and maybe you could see the photos. But there are many holes, many holes that were put in the wall before I finally was able to figure it out. Well. Yeah, exactly. So there are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 holes. Hopefully my landlord's not watching the stream and listening to the podcast.
Sorry, Mike. On that one. I got
to he would not be pleased with the way that I butchered this wall here. I'm gonna have to go and get some some filler and fill it in and sand her up. Dave, maybe that's something that you could do. You said that you come from a line of carpentry. Maybe you can help me fill that wall in there at some point.
I got a tub of drywall compound. We got this.
That's what I'm talking about, Dave. That's what I'm talking about. My teammate on and off the pod. That's right. That's right. All right, let's get to some Leafs talk. I'm sure people don't care about me feeling myself after putting up a TV because others are like, big whoop guy, I do more than that on a daily basis at work. People work in factories and carpenters for a living. But anyways, some big news actually in Leafs land today. Two big nuggets I suppose we can get to from an injury perspective. First, we found out that TJ Brody was placed on injured reserve. He'll be out for at least a week from Sunday. So he'll miss the next three games for Toronto here. So Wednesday and then what's the next game? Wednesday, Friday, Sunday or Wednesday, Friday. The next three games he's out for. And they bring up Bobby McMahon in his place to take the spot on the roster. He's a forward who's been doing some pretty good things with the Marlies. We can get into that in a couple of moments. But the other piece of news that maybe we should start with, because I think it's slightly more you tell me which is more pressing. The fact that Austin Matthews was not at practice today. Sheldon Keefe called it a maintenance day. I don't know about you, but it's not too often that we see guys get maintenance days after a scheduled day off. And after practice, obviously Sheldon Keefe was asked about it. And he said, yeah, it's a maintenance day for Austin. Whether he plays tomorrow night, we'll see. We'll ask him how he's feeling. So we'll see. Clearly it's not a traditional maintenance day. I think he's dealing with something here. Hopefully it's not anything that is going to cost him games long-term. Clearly that would be the worst case scenario for the Toronto Maple Leafs would be to lose Austin Matthews for a long while, but not a guarantee to play in this game tonight against the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, when they talk about maintenance days, like Austin Matthews has had many maintenance days throughout the last few seasons, especially when he was dealing with the wrist injury. But Sheldon Keefe also said that TJ Brody's injury wasn't a huge concern, and now he's on IR. Like, Sheldon, you've now made us question everything you say when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, so here's what I'll say about the TJ Brody injury. I read it a little differently. I don't know if agree is the right word, but like I think that Sheldon Keefe isn't lying or stretching the truth. I don't think that I think TJ Brody, he's got a rib injury, they're calling it. I think it's something that he could play through. Usually maybe he would play through it. But when you look at how well the Leafs have played defensively, I think they could afford to have him get a little bit rested up and try and get back to full health or as close to full health as someone's going to get at the midway point in the season. But you look at the team's record with TJ Brody out of the lineup, they're 10-0-3 while he missed time earlier this season. Not to say that they're going to go 10-0-3 again, but it really kind of just showed that this team can band together. And when it's a next man up mentality, they can succeed. And I wonder if that really had something to do with them actually just placing TJ Brody on IR and allowing him to give him that week to get rested up. Not necessarily because he can't play through it, but because I think they realize, hey, not only do we have a guy in Connor Timmins we want to get some action, but this probably, you know, could be good for TJ Brody too, to you know, save some tread on those tires for the back half of the year.
It's fair. That's fair. I'm not saying Sheldon Keefe is deceiving, but hockey coaches tend to not want to make a big deal about an injury just because they don't want they're very secretive about that stuff. We know that, you know, it's always the famous thing in hockey. Ah, he has an upper body, he has a lower body. Other sports, you get a little more clarity on what the guy has. Yeah. Right. So that's why I'm always skeptical when a coach is giving updates and stuff. But yeah, when it comes to Austin Matthews, like
that one I am a little bit more skeptical on.
Yeah.
For some reason. Like, I know that it was Brody that ended up on IR, but it's the Matthews one. And I think it's just based on how weird it is that he's being given a quote unquote maintenance day the day after a scheduled off day. Like, yeah, that's where it really kind of makes you turn your head a little bit and think, what's going on here? Like, something doesn't add up.
Yeah. And like, we know players deal with things all season long, and there's players who have maintenance days, but yeah, when it comes after you already had an off day. Now look, they did play it back to back. So one off day, an off day is nice. Maybe they just felt another off day was going to work for them. So, you know, we're recording this before we know for sure what the lamp's going to look like.
Right.
You know, Matthews could be there at the morning skate and all is good in the world. It's just, you know, it's definitely weird when you consider all the factors that come into hand here.
Did you find it interesting at all that, so Bobby McMahon was the player who was called up. I know he's a forward, but he was the one called up in place of TJ Brody's roster spot. And it's because they already have seven defensemen, so they don't need an extra D-man. Bringing up an extra forward, I think, is probably smart. But also the fact that they needed an extra body because Austin Matthews is getting the day off. But I found it interesting that Bobby McMahon wasn't the placeholder for Austin Matthews during line rushes in practice. Typically, that's what you'll see is, you know, if a guy's just having a maintenance day, whoever the quote-unquote 13th or 14th forward is, typically will just be a placeholder in practice so that those guys who are going to be playing together can get those practice, you know, shifts together. Wasn't necessarily the case in this game in practice today, though. Pierre Engvall was up on the top line during practice, and Bobby McMahon was on the third line. So I don't know if I'm reading into that as maybe they are considering if Matthews isn't good to go, that Engvall will get the opportunity to move up in the lineup and play on that top line, potentially. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening there. But that was something that I thought was rather interesting.
Yeah, because at first we thought that Bobby McMahon was being played in that position because, like, oh, he's just going to come in for Dryden Hunt here, and he's going to actually get into a game because they're rewarding a player who's done exceptionally well for the Marlies. If you follow the Marlies, Bobby McMahon has done very well, not just this year so far, but last year as well. So that's what I initially thought, and then you see the lineup changes, and you're just like, okay, like, it's a little curious because, yeah, even the seventh defenseman who up and play forward in that case with Austin Matthews being out. Like, they don't – at that point, you just have a body there. But I guess maybe there is a potential thing where they're like, maybe he might not play, so we better have a planned out for what our lineup will look like without him there, which
– yeah,
it's really interesting.
Well, what it looked like today in practice was Bunting. Actually, I'll screen share it so that those watching on YouTube can see what we're looking at here. So here it is right here. We got David Alter with his practice lines, although there was a mistake here, actually. But this is what they look like. Bunting with Nylander and Engvall. So Nylander actually moved into the middle with Engvall moving to the right. Yarncroft, Tavares, and Marner sticking together. This was so Kerf, Camp, and he had McMahon, but then later said actually Hunt was in this spot. McMahon was on the fourth line. So it's actually Kerfoot, Camp, and Hunt, and then Aston Reese, Holmberg, and Bobby McMahon were on the fourth. And then with TJ Brody out, it's Riley and Hall being united here as a duo. Gio and Timmins, and then Sandin and Liljegren stick it together. So Gio or Riley and Hall being, I mean, with what's his face out, TJ Brody out, it's Riley and Hall being put together, and they're breaking up Gio and Justin Hall, which is kind of interesting too.
It also just takes away from what I said yesterday about how we could get Karn Timmins into the lineup and maybe Justin Hall were to come out. Yeah, Justin Hall being moved to play with Morgan Riley doesn't really make it seem like he's coming out of the lineup in any case, shape, or form.
Yeah, no, I believe I push back on that notion. They like him, man. They like him. And, you know, the metrics have been really good for Justin Hall this season. And clearly they feel like he's a player that they can play up and down the lineup as much as they can. And you know, now he's going to be thrusted into a top pair type of role. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we can tee up tonight's game, Leafs and Preds down at Scotiabank Arena. And then we'll also have a couple last mailbag questions that we can get to that we didn't finish in yesterday's show. But before we get into all that, let me tell you about betonline.net. It's your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from college basketball to the NHL to the NBA. We've got it all at betonline.net. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Morsuti. We're your hosts here at the Locked On Leafs podcast, a daily podcast. And if you enjoy what you've heard so far, please do us a favor if you could and subscribe if you're on YouTube, and also subscribe if you're listening via audio podcast as well. Maybe leave a little 5-star review and write a comment down below. We're starting to get antsy about trade talk, Dave, and I'm curious as to what everybody's number one trade target would be, whether if it's a specific player or if it's a position that they want to get filled. I want comments down below. Let us know what is your trade target as of now for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So write that down in the comments down below. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck and @D_Morsuti. All right, Dave, we got a game tonight, Maple Leafs hosting the Nashville Predators, who are coming in on a surge. They've won 4 in a row here and, you know, making a little play for the playoffs, which it's weird, man. Like, the Nashville Predators have always been a good team, but not a great team. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, they're actually great, like, late 2000s. They were always, like, a solid, solid group. But in the last little bit, they've kind of just been, you know, they probably will make the playoffs, but not do a whole lot once they're there. They're struggling right now on the outside looking in. Coming into tonight's game, though, on a 4-game winning streak, but on the year, 19-14-6, a .564 save percentage. And one of the more curious, I guess, statistics about this team is their goal differential. -4 goal differential on the year. And that's with having one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. What does that tell me, Dave? That tells me that this team can't put the puck in the back of the net. That is their biggest hurdle. They have not been able to score. There's just not a whole lot of goal scorers on that team. And when you look and you see, okay, well, where do they sit amongst teams when it comes to goal scoring? They sit in the bottom six. So that would make them, what, 26th in the NHL in goals scored at 111 on the year. So, you know, it's a team that really just has not been able to get a whole lot of offense, which is nice for the Maple Leafs, who are trying to have their goaltending get back on track, and both of them coming off pretty good starts, now coming up against an offense that has been struggling, despite obviously winning a few games in a row. I think most of that definitely has to do with the fact that, you know, they've got stellar goaltending, including a 3-0 win against Ottawa the other night. But yeah, they've been real solid on this 3-game road trip that they're on, 4-game road trip, actually. It'll be coming into tomorrow. What are you expecting in this Preds-Leafs matchup?
Yeah, you're not really bearing the lead too much with the UC Saros. Like, that guy has just been unreal.
Yeah.
I saw the highlights of that game against the Hurricanes where I had to double check to make sure the math was right, that he made 64 saves on 67 shots.
Yes.
Like it was a massacre of chances.
In regulation.
I think it was like 26 shots in the third period alone, which, like, that's a whole game's worth for a lot of teams. And they won that game too. That was the crazy part is that, like, I think Nashville got outshot in that third period based on what they had in the whole game in total. They had, like, I think they had 24 shots in that game.
Yeah.
Carolina had 26 shots in the third. That's how crazy. So, like, what I'm expecting from the Leafs is, you know what, this is a defense that's clearly, you know, they're relying a lot on their goaltender. They're not exactly preventing chances. Like, I'm pretty sure that's something that can easily be said. And yeah, they don't have that clear cut top goal scorer. Like, Philip Forsberg is like their best guy. But you look at it, it's like they're getting it's by committee in a lot of ways. And they're going to try to grind you out. They're going to try to, we're not going to be preventing many chances because we saw that it didn't really happen against, and it's, yeah, the shutout against Ottawa. I mean, Ottawa's not beating a lot of teams right now, so that's not surprising. And same with Montreal, but they're keeping it close and the goaltending is doing a lot of it.
Yeah. They are fourth in the NHL or fourth last, actually. So 28th in the NHL in expected goals against per 60. So that's like a pure defensive metric. So you could say that they're the fourth worst defensive team in the National Hockey League, which is not really what you expect to see out of the Nashville Predators, but that's been the case this year. They're giving up a lot of scoring chances. You know, they're giving up the fourth most scoring chances per 60 as well. And then, high danger. They're another team that, of course, are in the top half of the league and giving up high danger chances. So the reason why they're above 500, like you said, is because they're just getting unbelievable goaltending from their guy, Yusei Soros, who's been absolutely unbelievable.
Do you remember Tanner Janot was like this rookie phenomenon?
How's he doing this year?
He is doing terribly. Like, he had 2 goals last year, a 19.4 shooting percentage. So obviously that's sustainable. He has 3 goals in 39 games, a 4.8 shooting percentage. He's still hitting everything that moves. Like, that's still his MO there. But yeah, I think, like, last year they got some unlikely contributions from guys, and he was one of them.
Well, I mean, another player. I'm gonna quickly look up where these guys are at, because I forget the exact point total. But like last year, they had so many players who had like career years or renaissance seasons, and I guess they're probably just assuming they're gonna do the exact same thing. I mean, Matt Duchene had a 40-goal season, didn't he, last year? Like 40 goals and a point per game player. And, you know, he's got 11 so far through 30 points in 38 games. It's not awful by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not, you know, what he did a year ago. Mikael Granlund only has 4 goals this season through 39 games. Philip Forsberg, 16 goals through 39 games. You know, so they're just not getting depth scoring either. Ryan Johansson is back to being, you know, his middling self, I guess, that he had become these last few seasons. Last year, nice little renaissance season. This year, kind of going back to being, you know, a middle six type of player. And they're just not getting much out of the youth as well. You know, you mentioned Tanner Janot, Cody Glass isn't contributing a whole lot. They obviously gave up on Eli Tolvanen because he wasn't doing anything, who actually has a couple of goals since going to Seattle, I might add. But at the end of the day, it's the goaltending. A league high, league best 920 team total save percentage, league best at 5-on-5 save percentage as well. So to your point, you know, it's a team that hasn't been great defensively. They're not scoring a lot of goals, but they are getting saves and lots of them. So, you know, I guess if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, what's the key to victory to getting pucks past AUC Saros tomorrow night or tonight, I guess, by the time everyone's listening to this podcast and getting the victory?
Kind of getting into those scoring areas, right? Getting into those high danger scoring areas. They've been doing a lot. I mean, you saw what they did against the Flyers. A lot of their goals were coming from, I don't know what the average shot distance was or the distance in terms of what they were scoring, but I would assume that it was pretty close in. That other than the Liljegren goal, they didn't have many goals that came from far out. So I think that's going to be an important one there. They got to watch the physicality. We know that Nashville still has guys that like to be bruisers. And that's going to be, they're going to try to wear down the Leafs forwards as much as possible with their physical play. And a final one for me here is Roman Josi. He's the engine that stirs the drink. Like him and Philip Forsberg are like the two guys. Like it's almost like when you're playing the Oilers, you pick on Draisaitl and McDavid. Yeah, Forsberg and Josi are the Draisaitl and McDavid of the Predators. And they don't really have many other guys that are, as we just mentioned, at that other level that those two are at.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you could slow down, you know, Josi from the back end and Philip Forsberg, there's not a whole lot more offense coming from these guys. I guess Nino Niederreiter has 12 goals this season. So I guess there's, you know, a little bit of secondary scoring, but for the most part, yeah, I think it's Forsberg and it's Josi. And I think you brought up the best point though, at the beginning there, when you said, you know, the Maple Leafs have to do a good job of getting into those scoring areas. They got to do a good job of making UC Saros a little uncomfortable. You know, Saros has been extremely successful when it comes to defending or stopping high danger chances as a team. The Preds, you guessed it, up at the top of the league in high danger save percentage with an 880 save percentage. Maple Leafs third, by the way, 869. Nice. So, you know, that's kind of where things sit right now. They got to find a way to get through that goaltending. But they've been the streak stoppers. They've been the streak stoppers all year long. I mean, you had the Devils were coming in on a streak. The couple, you know, earlier this season, the Red Wings were on a streak and they beat them. Carolina was on a streak. But, like, they've been able to beat teams who have been coming in on a bit of a hot run. Vegas, I think they got a victory. So they've been able to beat these clubs. Can they continue it here tonight against the Nashville Predators? I guess we'll have to see. But I think it'll be a lot more difficult to do also if, in fact, Austin Matthews does not play. We know TJ Brody won't be as he's out for the next week. It'll be interesting to see how the lineup kind of changes if Matthews indeed is out. Do we see Willie in the middle as was suggested in practice today? It kind of would be interesting to see how that would work out, but we'll see. We'll see. I think it'll be a fun game regardless, and the Maple Leafs should be able to come away with a victory. All right, Dave, let's take one more quick break. When we get back, we left a few mailbag questions out of last pod because I was just going a little too long, so we had to shorten things up, and we said, we'll do them a little bit later on in the week. So we'll get to one, maybe two of those questions on the other side. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Morris Studios and the Locked On Leafs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. I got Dave Morris Studios, my co-host here with me. All right, Dave. So we did a mailbag segment on yesterday's podcast. That's the whole podcast was a mailbag. And if you missed it, we had some good questions from you guys, and we answered them to the best of our ability. You can go check out most of the questions that were asked on yesterday's show. And there's a few leftovers that we're going to get to right here and right now. So, Dave, why don't you pull up the first question for us here, and we'll try and answer it. Give it a solid effort at answering it at the very least.
Yeah, before we do, I have to give a mea culpa. I did the one thing that you never want to do and not ask the Discord to send in their mailbag questions.
No, yes. Oh,
first thing I saw in the Discord this morning was, oh, I missed the mailbag.
But that's why you'd never miss a podcast, because we announced it on the podcast on Monday. Hey, we're doing a mailbag tomorrow. Leave the questions in the video below, which means clearly you're not listening to the pod every day.
I appreciate you backing me up, because I felt bad. I usually like to give the guys a heads up so they can get their questions in. So I got to do better. But yeah, this is also why it's important to subscribe so you don't miss a podcast. Even if you can't watch or listen to the full thing, description. I put important things in that description. I take my time to put together a good description for all of you. So make sure you guys are keeping an eye on that description so you're not missing out on anything. With that being said, let's go back to the question. We had two left, so we'll finish these ones off. The first one here is we've kind of discussed this, but we hadn't really discussed it, and that is about Will Matthew Nyes. This is from Meat. He had a good question in the prior episode, and he actually had two questions. So I wanted to make sure we got both of them. Yeah. Will Matthew Nyes play with the Leafs this season and into the playoffs?
Man, yes, I'm going to say yes right now. Look, I think Matthew Nyes, like there's so much pressure on him to come in and be a very impactful forward right away. I'm not exactly sure if he's going to be that incredibly impactful. And I only say that because, you know, power forwards, especially when I look around the NHL, not a whole lot of them find success right away, especially when they're coming from the college ranks. Like, I think about Dylan Holloway out in Edmonton, who came from the college ranks. He's not having the greatest rookie season. I think we expected a little bit more out of him and some other guys around the NHL. I mean, Juraj Slafkovský is not having a great rookie season with the Montreal Canadiens. But I think when I look at Matthew Nyes, so this year so far, he's got 12 goals, 23 points through 22 games with the University of Minnesota. Do I see him signing with this team when his college season is over? Absolutely. I think he becomes a Maple Leaf. Will he play games with Toronto? Yes, I do. I think he'll play games with Toronto. I don't necessarily know if the playoffs are a surefire guarantee, but if they are, if he's going to play, maybe he doesn't exactly play in the top six, which is what a lot of people are hoping for either. I would just temper expectations a little bit on him in his rookie season. If he ends up coming and playing a physical fourth line role for the playoffs, I think that is okay if they end up finding somebody to be in that top six via trade, or if Yarncroft continues to produce at the point per game pace that he's on. I don't anticipate that, but if it happens, you're not going to mess with a good thing. So will he play with the Leafs? I believe so. Will he be incredibly impactful? Maybe not as much as people think.
Yeah, it's tough because the Leafs are like, we're seeing it now whenever that teams are just throwing in young players and hoping that they can actually, you know, stick and be contributors. And then there's teams that it's almost like they don't really know what they want to do with their young players. And I don't want the Leafs to do that with Matthew Nyes, because he can be a very, everything you see with him screams, this guy can be a good piece for going forward, right? Like, he's got the size, he's got the desire to go into the tough areas to score. The last thing you want to do is ruin his confidence, right? And put him in a situation that maybe doesn't work for him. And I think that's where the Leafs feel like, you know, if they have enough options where they say, all right, Matthew, we're going to give you a chance to show what you can do. Let's see if you can help make, like, force us to make a decision about keeping you on this team, you know, past whatever try. I'm certain they're going to give him NHL. If they sign him, they're going to give him some NHL games, because that's usually what comes with the perks of signing that NHL deal. Like, he's not signing and then they're throwing him into the Marlies. That's just not what NCAA players need to be convinced to leave school, right? So you got to convince them by saying, we're going to get those NHL games under contract for you.
I mean, even Nick Abruzzese had a good handful of games when he came out to Harvard last year. And then obviously he hasn't even been a factor this season at all, in the regular season at least. And he's kind of like a middling player for the Marlies right now too. He's not one of those guys who's tearing it up at the top of the charts, like a Bobby McMahon, who's now with the team, called up today. So yeah, we'll see what ends up happening with Matthew Nyes. I think he'll get games, but whether or not he's like that impact power six, top six power forward that the team is eyeballing at the deadline, can he be that kind of their own rental deadline ad? Nah, I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, all it's right. A big wait and see there. All right, here's the final one here from Ida. It's looking at Kyle Dubas, right? And this is another thing we kind of discussed a little while ago. So should the Leafs lock down the contract with Dubas now or risk losing him to another team? Hasn't he already proven himself valuable? If not, how far does the team need to get in the playoffs before he has earned it?
So I guess I could answer the first part and then kind of move on in three chunks. Yeah. There's almost three questions here. Yeah. So should the Leafs lock down the contract with Kyle Dubas now or risk losing him to another team? I mean, no, they should not lock him down to a contract now, but I don't think that would also put him at risk to losing him. I think Toronto could, quite frankly, match any offer that is put on his table. And I believe that Kyle Dubas has started something here in Toronto. And if MLSE and the Maple Leafs are willing to bring him back to see through that vision, I think he is more than willing to come back. So I don't think you're going to – there's no threat of losing him to another team, in my opinion. It's just whether or not the organization is going to want to go there if there's not success again. In terms of hasn't he proved himself valuable, I think he absolutely has proved himself valuable. I think we've talked about on this podcast a lot how many great moves that he's done, and he's done a lot with a little in terms of, you know, once those big contracts were signed and once the pandemic really hit, it handcuffed him from a cap perspective, and he's been able to, you know, make some really nice deals and make some nice signings like a David Kampf, a Michael Bunting, even Cali Armkrok at 2.1 is looking pretty good right now. At that price, you know, last year bringing in Ilya Labushkin for Nick Ritchie, and the goaltending has been pretty good so far this season. You know, so he's made some nice moves, but I still think that there needs to be playoff success. You can't go 6 years as a general manager of a hockey team and not have a single series victory and still be guaranteed a contract in a contract year. So, you know, has he proved himself valuable to an extent? But I guess I can answer the third one there. If not, how far does a team need to get in the playoffs before he's earned it? I mean, you got to at least win one round, the minimum one round. If he does not win a round in the playoffs, I don't think he's guaranteed to come back. It's not that he's guaranteed to leave and they are guaranteed to not bring him back. But I don't even think that you have those conversations until the playoffs, ultimately, because playoff success is what's going to dictate kind of the future of this team. And that includes, you know, Kyle Dubas, Brendan Shanahan, I think, is also included in this conversation here, which ultimately will also include Sheldon Keefe. Like, those three are very well connected to each other. And then you've got big contracts coming up over the next two off seasons. With Matthews, Nylander, and then the following off season, you've got Marner and John Tavares. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting next few seasons for Toronto. I believe Dubas, you know, is the right man for the job, and he's done a good job and probably has, you know, deserves a contract, but I understand their willingness or their unwillingness to give it to them to this point. In terms of how long, again, at least one, maybe even two playoff rounds to really say, okay, we need to bring this guy back to finish the vision because we believe that we are on the right course. We finally got over the hill. Now next year we can bring it across the finish line potentially. So that's probably what it would take to get Dubas locked up for me.
Yeah. Like for me, there's a couple things here. I think they're learning a little bit from what happened with the contracts that they gave out. Like I looked at the comments from our last video, and of course people are still raving about this John Tavares contract and like what it has done to the team. I still remain that I'm not bothered by the John Tavares contract because in a way he earned it as a free agent. And people are saying, well, it's because of him that they had to pay Matthews, Marner, more and Nylander a certain amount. Well, technically, I think there was a couple of other young NHL players that are comparable to Matthews and Marner that pushed the market to dictate the market to pay them that much. But that's a step. Like that was like, I don't know what you were expecting Dubas to do there, like to play hardball with the Stars. Like, I think the Leafs understand here that, you know what, like they can wait because with Dubas because I don't see another team coming in and saying we're going to give Kyle Dubas a boatload of money and then the Leafs can turn around and say, okay, we're going to get a yacht full of money and just laugh at your offer away. Like, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about Dubas leaving to go for another team because I feel like he's someone that, you know, wants to see through a project. He always talks about this as a project, you know. Yeah.
What? Go ahead. Well, what other team who would be looking for a new GM would be more attractive than what the Leafs could offer?
Yeah, like I'm like,
not only money wise, but like the on ice product, the roster.
Like, unless Dubas really loves to take on another challenge, and like he grew up in Ontario, so it's not like he's gonna go back home somewhere, right? This isn't like a Steve Yzerman thing where he leaves Tampa Bay to go to Detroit. Like, there was a reason why Steve Yzerman left Tampa Bay to go to Detroit. You know, he left a team that was a perennial Stanley Cup contender to go to a team that needed a full gut job. I don't like where's Dubas going to go to do that? Like, I don't see another team in the immediate horizon, like immediate that is it Edmonton? I don't know. Like, that could be an issue. That could be one. But, like, I don't know if he even would want to do that. Like, would you go for Edmonton over Toronto? I'm just speculating. I'm not even saying that's actually a thing. I'm just trying to justify any potential chance of him leaving. But yeah, no, they do need to win. I think two rounds for me, because you can get past round one. Round two is kind of like you're on the cusp of getting as far as like you, like at least then like those are two tough rounds you got to get past.
That's the thing, like the way it's going to set up. Like, we already know this. It's January 11th, and we already know how it's setting up. But it's going to be Tampa in round one, Boston round two. Those are two very, very difficult teams, and you know, losing to them wouldn't be, you know, any other team. You could lose to them admirably. The Maple Leafs just can't afford that luxury based on their history, unfortunately.
No, they at this point, nothing is like, I understand players got paid for what they have done individually, but they weren't paid for what the team has done on the ice. I get all that, and that's why I'm putting it not, I don't think for me a round isn't set. I know that we're just clamoring for, like, we're pleading for one round. I'm going to be a little greedy and say I need to see two rounds just because it feels like if they win around the second, then they finally get over that hurdle. There's a mental hurdle there for a lot of these guys. And once they get past the first one, I think the second one will be a little easier. Now, it might not be better and easier in terms of a matchup. We don't know exactly what that matchup will be. But I just feel like once you get over the first one, it starts a bit of a chain reaction. But and that's kind of why I think two rounds is where I want to see. Now, if they win a round, will I say that Dubas shouldn't come back? It all depends on how it goes, right? Like how the, you know, how the what the circumstances are. But I do want to see a little more than I want to see the team aim a little higher than, yeah, let's get this do one round.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. It's a long time from now. There's still 41 regular season games to get through, and then the playoffs hit. So, and one of those games is tonight, game 42 on the year. The second half of the season officially begins tonight. Maple Leafs hosting the Nashville Predators down at Scotiabank Arena. Should be a good one, as always. But that'll do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcasts and platforms. I receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at D_Morrissuti. Go ahead, smash that like button on YouTube. Leave a comment down below as well. And a review if you're listening on iTunes. A little 5-star action with a review. That'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it, Dave?
It would definitely be neat.
Yes, it would be neato, as some would say. All right, we'll be back with another episode tomorrow. We'll break down the Leafs and Preds, but until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.